Thank you, everyone, for meditating, supporting the world, supporting your family, your friends, through our meditation practice. There's so much to what Vipassana is within our meditation practice and within our life. The testament to that is you can look it up on the internet or you can go to a library and there will be a lot of books on this subject by a lot of people through a long period of time too. So whether we are exposed to the sutras of Patanjali or we are reading various sutras of the Buddha, or we are have been to a Guenka Vipassana 10 or 11 day retreat, or even nowadays, you know, the current worldwide trend of a secular form of mindfulness, which is directly extracted from the teachings of the Buddha, but has left out a lot of the reasons why the Buddha gave it. There's a lot out there about this subject matter. And why? Because it's really useful. It's useful in deconstructing our self-made reality. And one has to then, of course, ask, or one might ask, well, why would we want to do that, to deconstruct self-made reality? Strictly because it's self-made, which means that my reality and your reality and, you know, anyone else that's here today, our neighbor, we all have specific ways in which we perceive. We have specific filter systems that are based upon our patterns of consciousness, the pattern recognition that we look for in the world, on and on. You know, our past lives, our aspirations, what we like, what we don't like, all of that. So moving down the line here, we're at direct perception. I have put these in an order that, due to my self-made reality and my meditation practice and its unfolding, makes a lot of sense. Now, not in justification at all, but this order is also followed fairly. I'm parroting to a large extent also what several meditation masters have ordered these ideas in as well. But what is direct perception? What would you say direct perception is? Let's answer that for ourselves. Within the teachings of the Buddha, the idea of naked or raw is used with this kind of idea, direct perception. So the filter system, the imputations, the labeling, the instantaneous, robotic, even autonomic way in which the mind and the senses and the sense of self add or delete from perception. So add to with a story, add to with a preference, organ a dislike. You know, things are good, things are bad. Direct perception also is wide. We talked about this yesterday in the online study group of pattern recognition, that because of pattern recognition, which is common to not only human beings, but to all animals on the planet, and it might be common to our planet, the way our planet is evolving. So we as human beings, we look for patterns. We're actually hardwired for that in our brain. And because of pattern recognition, that's the primary way by which we learn. And that begins in the womb. But because of pattern recognition and that predilection for pattern recognition, we notice things according to the patterns that we commonly use, that we commonly perceive, that we commonly participate in, and other things we don't notice. And that's really easy to see if you travel at all, even from one section of the country to another, but certainly if you go to one culture or another. There are different patterns to be recognized. There are different patterns to that culture that are important to them. But, you know, we could be walking in the woods and not notice a lot or notice a lot according to pattern recognition. So direct perception is to not be bound, limited by, curtailed by the patterns of recognition, so that our perception is wider and direct, that it doesn't always go through layers of, yes, patterns, habits of consciousness, again, preferences, imputations, etc. So direct means that there's less filter system there. It's more raw, it's more naked. And that means it's wider. It's also more intense. So for those who have a intuitive side to them that they engage and do not dismiss. Everyone's intuitive, but most people are trained from birth to dismiss it or to distrust it. But if we engage it, and then if we train in it, that increasingly is direct. It increasingly opens to wider and wider layers and dimensions of life. Whether or not it's reality, I'm not sure. But, you know, for those who are intuitive, it seems pretty real to us. We smile. Vipassana illumines the layers, illumines that they're there, called patterns, called habits of consciousness, called labeling. Vipassana first illumines that these things are there. These are, again, pretty autonomic. Then Vipassana basically poses the question, why? And is such and such real? Also, is such and such necessary? Do I need to label that? Do I need to believe the superficial that I think is true or real? With those two mechanisms slowly, slowly in place, Vipassana begins to now reveal, but illumination is first. And of course, that's so. Even in a room, you put on a light, you illumine the room so as to reveal what not to trip over. So illumination, then revealing. from there, lots of things are possible, including more peace in our mind, more tranquility, an open mind, greater listening skills, more empathy, greater equanimity, an ease with kindness, an ease with respect, an ease with life, and definitely a more creative. Lots of things are possible. In addition to direct perception, peer perception, insight, all of these things. We smile. Long, slow, deep breath. And just be for a few minutes in the illumined expanse of awareness itself. And if thoughts arise, excuse me, We look through them, perceive beyond them. That sounds like an activity, like it requires a lot of activity. But it's more of, you know how if you meditate with your eyes open, it's not about actually looking at something. It's kind of like that. The thoughts don't matter. So we are sitting in the tranquility and peace of shamatha. And as that fluctuates, or in any way, you know, it expands, it decreases, it distraction, whatever it is. So as that fluctuates, we choose simplicity and ease. The choice is to understand that the fluctuations need not be perceived as real. They're just wind. That's literal from a wind drops and channels point of view, but they're just like the wind and the sky. The wind flows, moves, fluctuates. The sky is constant. So we have understood directly, we have had insight that, oh, my thoughts are like the wind. But awareness is like the sky. My mind is like the sky. That's Vipassana. And we hold these two in union. We marry these two in our sitting. So we get peaceful awareness as it is, shamatha. And simply be raw perception, which does not mean to perceive anything specifically or to perceive or to look for something, but to understand that all perception, all that arises, is like the wind. It is illusory. It is just fluctuations. So we pay no attention. Like the sky pays no attention to the wind. And for our last couple of minutes, feel your peace just pouring into the world, because the field and awareness are inseparable. We take a long, slow, deep breath, breathing with the world. So carry it into your day with love and compassion. As things start to deconstruct, let them deconstruct. It's very powerful. Love you all. Create your day.